Hi, everyone. This is Grace. We're going to go ahead and get started. I've started the recordings, and today, just a quick recap, it's April 2nd. It's 11:03 UTC. Jonathan Robinson will be leading today's call, and we'll be doing a roll call based on the Adobe Connect room. With, if anyone's on the audio line, please let me know now.
Hi, this is Greg Shatton. I'm not yet in Adobe Connect.
Hi, Greg. Thank you. Earlier we had noted Cheryl, but she's in the Adobe Connect room, so we're all set. Jonathan, over to you.
Thanks, Grace. Welcome, everyone. Thanks to those of you particularly who've got up specifically early or had to stay up particularly late for this call. We are going to spend an hour on the call, I hope. The primary purpose of the call is to ensure that the design teams are working as planned and that they have the opportunity to provide any specific updates since Istanbul, and in particular to ask any questions or secure any information required to continue with their work. We are mindful as chairs that the primary purpose of the group's work at the moment is in the design teams as we sort of hunker down after the good work we did in Istanbul to drive ourselves collectively towards considered content for the draft proposal. In the background, of course, there is work being done by the lawyers, and the client committee will be meeting with the lawyers for an update from them later today. So we'll be able to inform you, and or you will be able to see the output from that meeting and make any comments or contributions either now during the course of this meeting as appropriate or subsequent to that. Really, as I said a moment ago, the overall thinking is driving towards the production of a draft proposal that will be in a fit state to go out for public comment. Our target date for all content for that is to be input by the 10th of April. That's just over one week from now. Reminding you that we will be producing two variants of the proposal that have been referred to in various ways, but essentially one is a short-form proposal that will be directly comparable and sit very easily alongside the existing proposals that have been put into the ICG in response to their RFP. And those two, that short-form proposal will be then something that is more readily accessible by a broader audience and is directly comparable to the existing proposals. The objective being to make it as simple as possible for those not for visibility and comparison and ultimately public comment, and indeed ultimately to facilitate the work of the ICG as well. But in addition, we have done extensive work on detail, and that detail it is appropriate to include in the report, and that will be included in a second variant of the proposal, which will be have significant fleshed out detail in it. So that's the plan, in addition to the fact that we propose to produce some communication materials to go alongside that. But all of these, that should be familiar to you from what we discussed in Istanbul. So having sort of recaptured that, and for those of you that didn't have the benefit of either being at the meetings or listening in full to the detail, that's where we're headed. So I'll pause there for a moment before we move on to item two, reminding you that we are going to work for an hour here and then let you get back to everything else that's going on. So let me just pause and see if there's any comment, question, or input at this stage. A question or a comment relating to the material for communications. Is communication material being prepared by Explain that, as Grace says on the list, went out yesterday? It's draft form. It hasn't been specifically reviewed by this group, but it is available for use to as a kind of aide-memoir and assistance with which to communicate with your groups and give them an update on the work that took place in Istanbul. All right, let's move on to item two, which is the work of the design teams. And here we have the first point on the agenda, which is the standardization of design team content. And essentially there's a couple of things going on here. One, as we've prepared for the launch and commissioning and initiation of these design teams, we've attempted to standardize the way in which the proposals are written and prepared. And more recently, with some help from staff, we have sought to standardize the output from the design teams. This has a number of advantages, but that includes making them just giving helpful direction to teams that are working in very short time frame to have a format. It permits the group to readily review this content and prepare the content in a form and format that can be readily absorbed into the draft proposal. I'm not 100% familiar with what's on the list at the moment, so and maybe, I don't know if Marika, you would like to make any comment on the standard form, or if there's an example. I think we had an example of DTM that may have gone out already in that standard format with the summary structure. Go ahead, Marika.
So this is Marika. So the document that's on the screen is the current template that is being used by design team, and it hasn't gone yet to the full list, but it's basically only onto the design team, but I can circulate it after this call. So as Jonathan explained, indeed the idea is that the first part of that content, which you see here on the first page, is kind of the high-level recommendation that is intended to be inserted in the short-form proposal. And then the parts that follow after that are the annexes that provide the additional details that are complementary to those recommendations that would go into the long-form proposal. So the idea is, or we'd like to encourage all the design teams to maybe take a similar approach, as that would really facilitate as well integrating the content once it has been finalized into the final proposal, and to make sure as well that all the parts have a similar look and feel. So as I said, we can share this example with the list after the call. Just note that this is still work in progress. The design team, I'm still working on this, so maybe don't focus too much on what is in there, but more the way it's laid out and the way it has been structured. So that was it.
And as you can see, the agenda item is the standardization of the content rather than the specific content of this DTM, design team M on escalation mechanisms. Any comments or questions on this point? Good. Go ahead, Staffan.
Thank you. I think this is a very good approach. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Staffan. It feels right to me as well, and it feels like we will, by doing so, we will create a sort of plug-and-play content format that we can start to weave into the draft proposal, which is clearly the intention of this work. So let's go through the design teams. We don't need reports as such from the design team groups. We spent a good portion of Thursday last week, a week ago, going in detail. What we need here is we'll do a fairly rapid pass over the different design teams, looking for either updates since a week ago or questions or issues arising from those. And to the extent that the design team leads are here, great. If not, it would be great if someone who is participating in that design team could just flag up any points by raising their hand. And if you do not believe there are, or if there are other issues, please let us know. In particular, it's quite obvious that some design teams are very active and others may be less so. So if you've got even concerns about that, also, please feel free to flag it. So if we could have the list of the design teams up now in the Adobe, that's probably a useful starting point. Avery asks if the group's output is a table, does that table need to be turned into text for the short form? Avery, I don't know that we've got a rule per se that is the case, but the principle is that if it can be captured in a short form, in the form of a few sentences or paragraphs, and then referred to in the appendix, that would be desirable. But you know, it may be worth looking at the specific context of a particular design team to check that. But the idea is to make the short form proposal as straightforward and digestible and conceptually accurate, without having to go into all of the detail, so that it's as broadly accessible as possible and comparable. All right, Paul, let me turn to you. Thanks for being on the call, and just see if there is any question, comment, or update over the past week that you need assistance with in either finalizing or something that's come up in the interim.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm not aware of anything specifically. I would very much welcome input to IANA staff to the working group. At the moment, everything, no one has contacted me. It's all been very quiet. So I have nothing really to report. The document is as presented. Yes, I've also moving now to the escalation group, Group M, just to make sure, to use your words, it sort of all knits together. So I hope IANA staff will be reviewing it, and I hope they will participate in the design team just to iron out any little issues. But we're just trying to now move on, as I mentioned, in Istanbul. So that's my short update.
Thanks, Paul. That sounds good. It does sound like it would be very useful to know what level of commitment or buy-in there is to the SLAs as listed, or SLEs as listed in that, and how that can be squared off with what should in the work of the design team A versus what is done currently. Chuck, I know your hand is up, but I'll go to Marika, who I think is responding directly to this point, and then I'll come back to you.
This is Marika. Just to note that we have already received internally feedback from our colleagues from the IANA staff, and I believe they do have some questions or concerns with regards to what has been proposed by Design Team A. I think that is still formally still forthcoming, but I did already want to flag it here. And I think it's also probably something then for broader discussion maybe by the CWG, whether you all think it is feasible to have those conversations between the IANA staff and Design Team A, or possibly the full working group, on going through those comments, or whether that is something that is maybe parked for now, and we're working on the basis what is currently the required under the agreement with the NTIA, as that, I believe, has been working quite well as well. So maybe it's something where we can work with our colleagues to get a formal response back to the full working group, so you can then further consider whether you believe it's something that can be resolved or agreed to within the short time frame that we have, looking at producing content by the 10th of April, or whether there's possibly an alternative path that can be pursued to make sure that due consideration is given to possible concerns or questions in relation to what has been proposed.
If I may come back, I'm not privy to anything. I understand it's an internal communication. IANA staff have had sight of the SLE since, I'm looking at my notes here, the 26th of February, and then again on the 6th of March. I would be a little concerned if there is a significant deviation from the SLE proposed. But I do urge, rather than spend ages trying to formulate a formal response, by all means have the IANA staff participate on the mailing list so that the whole of the design team can address any issues, or more accurately, give the facts that underline the SLE. Bear in mind, the SLE is based on the current activity within the IANA as that was what was proposed. I'm in the dark. I don't really know what's going on. So what we have done is we've reviewed the current activity IANA delivers based on over 400 data points, and we've spent hours doing it. So please get them to get involved in the design team.
Thanks, Paul. Chuck?
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Paul. In Istanbul, we talked about an SLE for emergency updates. Paul, is the design team going to work on that?
So, yes, I have. I'll just dig out the email. I've reached out to IANA staff asking them to basically prescribe how it is they conduct an emergency update or emergency transaction. And if I can, basically, I was referred to a very broad brush document. I will once again go back to the IANA and ask for specific information. We understood from David Conrad that from start to end it's a four-hour window, which is great and admirable. But thank you for the reminder, Chuck. I will go back to Elise and just get more information from them. Or more accurate, I'll try and get the design team to do it. I don't want to be the point person. But, yes, thank you for the reminder. I will chase it again.
Paul, I think it would be helpful in doing that is to make sure that the staff working on this project, who aren't necessarily IANA people, who the staff who are supporting the group, were copied in on any of that kind of correspondence, which gives them an opportunity to follow up internally as well and assist in the way that they can. That would be useful if at least Grace and Marika could be copied in.
Okay.
So it feels to me like There's a service level expectation put forward by the customer. There's a service level that has been, to the best of my knowledge, adhered to, or at least in existence, a service level agreement that exists to date. There's two issues, really. One is, have we got all of the parameters we need? And to that extent, Chuck's point is the prospective addition of one or more additional parameters. And second, what is a reasonable basis to go forward on, and we need the supplier to come back to us and indicate whether or not the service level expectations are reasonable or not. It is my feeling that the structure is sufficient to potentially go ahead with publication of a draft proposal, but that a final proposal should contain an mutually agreed set of service level expectations. So ideally, the draft proposal should contain the scope, the number of service levels we can expect to see met, and an indication of the aspiration there. And that should be, certainly in my view at least, finalized in the final proposal. Is that a new hand? Would you like to make a comment? Or Paul, would you like to come back on that?
Just for clarification, I want to emphasize within the group, you use the term aspirational. I have tried to steer the group away from aspirational at this juncture, and just focus on what the IANA is currently delivering based on real-world facts. Some members of the group, from aspirations, want to basically require the IANA to deliver to the same standard that ICANN requires. I personally do not feel that appropriate. appropriate at this juncture because what I would rather focus on are facts. So I want to be very careful that we don't go to the retrograde step of an out-of-date service level agreement that IANA has with NTIA. NTIA recognize themselves that it's rather broad, which is why we focused on facts. But your point is well made, and I'm trying to stay away from aspirational because that's something that could happen at a later date post-transition.
Got it. Thanks, Paul. There's an agreement in place which is outdated. There's an expectation which is being set, which in the view of the design team is reasonable, but we need a response from the IANA on this. And long term, there may be an aspiration for further improvements on the service level expectation, but that's not an expectation pre-transition. So I think that helps me, and I hope that helps the group. Thank you, Paul. Yeah. All right, Chuck, did you have an additional point?
Yes. With regard to the emergency process, update process for the root zone, I just wanted to note for Paul and for everybody else that Annex X, what is now Annex X in the Design Team M current document that was on the screen earlier and that Marika is going to distribute to the whole list, shows the current emergency escalation process as it is. And as far as I can tell in the information we've been provided from an IANA representative in Drafting Team M, is that there is no actual SLE at this time. They do target for 4 hours, but there's not an actual SLE. So people can look at that Annex X if you want to see what that is as far as the procedures are. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. I'll keep us moving then, given the objective to have a relatively short call today. So Design Team B, any questions, updates, or issues since Istanbul?
Jonathan, it's Alan from Design Team B. You recall it's a survey of CCTLDs. The survey is still in the field. We have given them until tomorrow, April 3rd, to reply. So there's really no update. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. That's helpful in and of itself. Design Team C, I suspect this is Stefan, but go ahead, Design Team C.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Yeah, I hope Donna is asleep. I don't find her in the list. So let's see what we can report. In Design Team Consumer Standing Committee, there is mainly work underway, revision of proposal and implementing remarks made in Istanbul. One main issue now is to connect DTC with DTM, as in Mike, regarding escalation specifically. We do have 2 hours this afternoon, or 14 UTC DTC and 15 UTC DTM, and I hope we can connect escalation between the groups here. So if no one else in the group has anything to report, I think that's about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. Go ahead, Chuck.
Just wanted to let Stefan know that the Design Team M latest version is what's going to be distributed by Marika to the group. It's still a work in progress, but note that you'll have that shortly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great, and that was what was flashed up earlier, I think, then as an example of the format. So that's useful both from a point of view of a format illustration and content for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Thanks, Stefan and Chuck. Design Team D on the authorization function.
Thanks, Jonathan. Cheryl Langdon-Orr here. Delighted to say that as we had provisionally completed our work in Istanbul, we've had no need to go further, strangely enough, but to remind everybody that it was our recommendation, which was agreed with, that there would be no, I repeat, no authorisation function, but that the matter of validation, which is part of our charter work, has been hived off provisionally, pardon the pun, to design team F, but regardless of whether it's F or not, to another another design team. And a number of us from D have now gone on to populate F. And that's it from me. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. I think that's useful, again, for those that were not necessarily following all of the detail of Istanbul to be brought up to speed with where we are. E is, of course, the review of SAC 69, and that will now be rolled into the work of the red team, which cross-checks the proposal against key requirements as a form of stress testing. And so I will move us on then to an update from Alan Greenberg, although I don't see Alan on the call regarding Design Team F. Is Alan, am I missing Alan, and or is anyone else able to give any input as to the status or position of Design Team F? Bernie, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. We completed a detailed recommendation for the scoping document of F yesterday, and we have our members, so I believe that once we get approval for F, we'll be ready to get underway. I spoke with Alan yesterday, and he is hoping to get underway as soon as we get the authorization and have some deliverables for the due date of the 10th. Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie. Next, priority one design team, I think, is L, if I've done that at the list justice. So I don't know if there's anything. We did have reasonable discussion of this in Istanbul. I don't know if there's anything to update or require any input from the group on in relation to design team L. Matthew Shears, go ahead, Matthew.
Jonathan, I don't have a particular update, but just to say that we have a new member, Graham Bunton from Two Cows, joining the group, and we also spent on the Friday of that week, we spent a good amount of time with David Conrad, which has helped us immensely in terms of taking the work forward. But I'm afraid I can't really give you any more than that in terms of an update unless one of the other team members has.
Thanks, Matthew. Bernie, if I could ask you to take your hand down, and then I'll go to Christopher Wilkinson. Christopher?
Hi, good morning, good afternoon. Just to mention that the design team L has taken a very narrow interpretation of their mandate, or our mandate. I have had and still have significant reservations about the feasibility of the kind of separation mechanism that we're discussing. But in its wisdom, the design team has decided to reject all the comments and drafting that I have offered to the document. These considerations will clearly still be relevant, but I think we should all recognize that this is a design team designing a separation mechanism. Thank you.
watching the hands. Thanks, Christopher. We discussed this a little in Istanbul. I'm not sure if you had the opportunity to participate, but it certainly came up to some extent. Go ahead if you'd like to respond to that.
May I take 2 minutes just to respond to Christopher?
Paul, go ahead.
Thank you, Christopher. I'm afraid, sir, I'm not familiar with the submissions you raised, and I'm not on that working group, but just by means of a two-second update with the work that was done in Istanbul, we received a very interesting presentation from the retained lawyers who fundamentally suggested that it is possible to have an affiliated company or a subsidiary company of ICANN Corporate that could potentially act as effectively the steward that would enable, in the event of certain criteria not being met, the escalation process being fulfilled and still no resolution, for effectively the stewardship role to start a mechanism of separation, more or less on a predefined basis. So I'm not aware of the comments you raised, but the issue of separation, I sincerely hope it's not necessary, but the issue of separation is being dealt with by the group as a whole. I hope that allays any concerns you have.
Thanks, Paul. Matthew?
Yes, thanks, Jonathan. I think that this, you know, what I think that, in a sense, Christopher's absolutely right, of course, that we have taken a very narrow and technical focus in terms of this particular design team. But from the perspective of most of the participants in the design team, that was very deliberate. This is about looking at a transition plan that exists in the current contract and ensuring it's fit for purpose in new situation going forward post-transition. It is effectively, I think, as we discussed in Istanbul, largely, if you will, a kind of disaster transition plan. If something terrible were to happen that meant that the contract would have to be moved to another operator. So it's more about that continuity of service rather than a separation plan, as we have been talking about in terms of internal, external models, etc. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
Certainly helps me, Matthew. Thank you. And just to make a point, and just ever sensitive to the extent to which our work is being watched and how certain terms can be used or not, the sort of contemporary, which you touched on, the contemporary terminology that I'm aware of that sort of replaced the concept of disaster recovery was a more euphemistic but equally accurate business continuity phrase. And I think that's what, and you've touched on that, you used the word continuity, and I think that's right. This is about, in the event that for whatever reason, a form of transition is required, that there is a form of separation or transition, additional transition is required, it has at least been thought about, and that the business continuity aspect has been dealt with in line with what was in place to date. Go ahead, Jan.
Yes, I mean, I want to join Matthew here as well. I mean, it is what the work group really looks at are the mechanics of what do you need to do if you have to spur the operations. Whether or not this is happening because of separation, background or whatever, that is not really the subject of this design team. And it is just about the mechanics. And it might be that that it's not necessary to do that at all, but, I mean, at least the plan is there. And it's to look at what current plan is, just in case IANA needs to move has to transfer the whole operation to somewhere else. And the nature of the comments Christopher made had to do whether or not the separation is good enough, or the principal details why to separate, but that's not really the task we took on in this design team. It has been from the beginning being about the mechanics, the movements you have to make, and not about the why it should be separated.
Thanks, Jaap. I'm mindful of the requirement to review and be very functional about the purpose of this call and make sure we cover the other issues from the design teams, but also cognizant that Avery's hand has gone up. So, Avery, go ahead, and then I'll move us on to design team end.
Yeah, just Avery speaking, just a quick question, and I think I do understand. So this basically is a plan that even organizationally everything's saying the same, but Washington, D.C. fell into a sinkhole, how we would reestablish in some other, the physical plant and connections in some other location, correct? I'm not part of it. I'm just trying to make sure I understand the difference and that this is really staying structurally everything the same, but the building fell down.
Yes, that might be one.
Okay, go ahead, Jaap. You go ahead.
That might be one of the reasons. You know, why the operation has to change is not really part of the subject. It's just, how do you do that if you move the back office from one of a registry? You know, that's basically it.
Thanks, Jaap. So it's the requirements that need to be fulfilled independent of the overarching scenario. It's looking through it what detail needs to be covered off. Let me move on to design team M and see if there is any update, question, or issues arising out of the work of design team M.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Chuck. Let me just say that I think we're making good progress. We have a lot of work to do, but we're still targeting completion by the 10th.
Thanks, Chuck. I think that's an old hand, so I won't, unless you tell me otherwise, that's okay. So, design team N for November. Any comment, question, or required input there?
Hi, this is Avery. I don't think so. We were, or I was, woken up from a few days slumber from DTN, and we got back into it yesterday. We're still working to the same plan we had, and hoping to make it by the 10th.
Great. Thank you, Avery. It's good to hear. I think we might be circling back to Chuck as we go on to the work of Design Team O.
Thanks again, Jonathan. Chuck speaking. And I'm optimistic that Design Team O, even though we haven't existed very long, will be ready by the 10th.
Good to hear. Thank you. I suspect there's not much to be said about the red team work. We covered what was required there, but I see a couple of hands have shot up. So go ahead, first of all, Greg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Greg Shatton. I'm not sure if this applies specifically to the red team, but just as I was listening, it occurs to me that I'm not quite sure where one aspect of our work is being covered, which is the why of escalation and ultimately separation. In other words, what are the triggers that causes an escalation mechanism to be taken up, and what causes ultimately separation to be viable or to be taken up after all prior escalations have failed. It looks to me like both the escalation and separation teams are dealing with mechanics or mechanisms, but not with the triggering events. And I'm not sure that this, to the extent that this serves, that SLEs are a trigger, I'm not sure that that DTA is dealing with what the triggers would be or not. And I don't think SLEs would necessarily be the only trigger. So I guess the short question is, where are we dealing with the why of escalation and separation? What are the triggers?
Well, my short answer is certainly I wouldn't expect that to be part of design team A. But Paul, your hand went up, so come back on that or other.
As we're all familiar with, standard SLEs specify normal operation, what happens in the event of breach. As discussed in Istanbul, the concept of having financial penalties for breach is not really applicable. And so what we're thinking of are merit points and demerit points for service. The quick answer is the SLE can describe the service level expected, and one can accumulate points, both good and bad points, which might cancel each other out. But at the end of the day, we envisage handing the matter over to the CSC as part of the escalation, and that's why I've just recently joined M, to make sure there's joined up thinking. But the bottom line is, it's not, in my mind, within the purview of the SLE group A, to determine at what point separation or whatever happens. All we can do is give metrics under which the CSC may determine, having gone through all the escalation paths, that something happens. So we can give a measure that would assist and justify, but we can't. I don't think it would be appropriate for A to do much else.
Thanks, Paul. Lisa, did you want to come in at this point?
Well, I didn't want to come in on this point, but I have a comment to it, having listened to Greg. I think part of the triggers need to be solved after the legal counsel of how we have the actual model of the stewardship. So I think it's a thing that we need to revisit after we have had the discussions with our legal advisor. And I had another point. I can wait with that after this discussion. So go ahead with this, and I'll raise my hand again.
Thanks, Lisa. Avery?
Yeah, hi, thanks. Avery speaking. Actually, I was very taken by Greg's point, because one of the things we've talked in general, and this I think also talked to Lisa's point, in some sense we're working with varieties of internal model now, and all of those internal models will need some sort of enduring bylaw, and that enduring bylaw will need some sort of trigger or something to actually think it might be a reasonable exercise, perhaps for some not yet existing design team, and it may be two, not one, to actually start figuring out, you know, what that bylaw could look like. And, you know, even though the notion of enduring bylaws is not ours, but is the CCWG's, but, you know, what that would look like, and start having at least the first shot, because we may not have a whole lot of time to do deep thinking on the how you get from the CSE saying something has to be done or some other trigger event to actually triggering a bylaw mechanism, but the notion of internal solution almost always requires a bylaw to affect that final separation. So it might be working on sooner, but of course defer to you know, the fact that you can't nail it down until you've got the legal and the finalization of the path taken. Thanks.
I'm going to just make sure I understand before going back to Greg where I think we're going. I mean, it seems to me like we've got, for example, in routes that might get us to a point, and that will be a certain point of escalation, perhaps in Design Team M, or a certain part of point of frustration, and I mean that in a sort of technical sense rather than an emotional sense, for the CSC, for example. And those points will then need to invoke a switch, a step, a trigger at the final stage of their process, at which point it triggers the need for some form of separation at the end of the path. The concern I have with it, I feel this is an important point, but potentially premature, subject to at least a one further iteration of input from Sidley. So that's my sense of things, but Greg, come back.
Thanks, Jonathan. Greg Schatten again. I don't think this is really a legal issue. It's really a factual issue. It's a question of what are the occurrences, as you say, the frustrations or the demerits or other negative events occurring that would trigger escalation and ultimately separation. These triggers, you know, can be designated by us. There are no particular legal requirements that I'm aware of, and I do a lot of technology transactions work that are kind of designated as a matter of law. So it's really a question of, you know, what do the customers or the community consider to be the negative events or failures to act that trigger escalations and ultimately separation. I think it does overarch several of the teams that are dealing with the mechanics, but we're not dealing with what allows those mechanics to be invoked. So, you know, DTA is covering it to an extent that you know, a certain level of demerits you know, could trigger at least referral to CSC or CSC taking up an issue. But that's only one aspect. And, typically, you might find a list in a contract where there are escalation and breach mechanisms. You may find a list that could be anywhere from 2 or 3 to 15 or 20. The list can sometimes be very broad, or it can be very specific. You know, not an issue in this case, but say failure of payment or failure to submit a required report. So while, you know, ultimately there's, you know, I'm sure Sidley could be, you know, give some valued input, I really think this is more something where they would need to vet what we think are the right kinds of factual triggers. I can see that this might be a better done when we have the mechanisms laid out, so it's not necessarily something that's overdue, but I think it's something that should be designated as a design team subject matter, and we should think about how to and who to write up a template or a proposal for it. Thanks.
Greg, point well taken. I'm mindful of the time. It's a point you've made. I would just encourage anyone else. From my perspective, it feels like there's other preparatory work to be done to see how big this gap is that needs filling. So I'd encourage anyone else in the queue to either make a brief point or if they feel satisfied that this is adequately raised, go ahead, and then we will switch over to dealing with the remainder of the agenda. So go ahead, Staffan.
Thank you, Jonathan. Well, this might turn out to a very long discussion, so I'll try to keep it very brief. But you do have a point, Greg, and I hope we've made it clear, or if we didn't, we will in the next written proposal from the CSC or Design Team C, that what triggers an escalation process is maybe not actually the problem. As discussed in our proposal this last week, CSC will be a starting point for trigger and escalation. They must be in some cases, and defined as mainly technical reasons for triggering an escalation process that might be contained as definable, so to say, to be closed and able to control. So the idea of composition or institutional design of the CSC is in that matter to have a very controlled and foreseeable process of starting escalation process. And this combined with written instructions for what the CSC is mandated to do and what it is not mandated to do is the general idea for how escalation process will work. But I'm not sure if I answer your question right, but that is at least a start. Thank you.
Thanks, Staffan. We're going to need to extend the call by a few minutes to cover off the remaining issues, but I'm conscious that we've given people a time that we need to try and work to. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you very much. One of the Design Team M's issues is if problems cannot be solved, how and to whom should they be escalated? So we certainly can't go any further until we get the results of M. So, you know, that's a given. At some point, it's clear it's going to be shifted over to the accountability side because actual decisions to separate are going to have to be forced by the community, and that's an accountability issue and will have to be built into the bylaws, as someone said. There's probably some in-between ground of other issues. Separability could be triggered because ICANN simply decides it doesn't want to do this anymore and needs to divest itself of it. So, you know, there are multiple triggers. But until we have the legal advice on the accountability issues, until we have M locked in, I don't think it's our work right now to decide exactly the mechanism. Do we need another design team and what's it called? Until we have those small details, which are not details. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I'll just remind you and everyone else that the separation can have various forms. It needn't necessarily be, I mean, divest implies a quite substantial separation. It may be that we are talking about the use of one or more outsourced providers for portions of the
Noted. I was just giving a range of things that are outside of our list right now.
Right. Thanks, Alan. And I need to note my own point, which is to move us through the agenda and try and complete the work of this call, at least. So I think this is a point well made and raised by Greg, but it's the size of the gap is not yet fully evident, pending further work. So we have a draft proposal in work. We have a work in progress, which is item 3. The schedule moving forward envisages us capturing all of the output from the design teams by the end of the day on the 10th of April. It involves a short time to digest that over the weekend and then to process that with a hard couple of days work on the Monday and Tuesday, 13th and 14th of April. So that is the plan, and on the back of that, then to consolidate that all into the draft in preparation for publication for public comment. As part of this, which is what item 3B seeks to flag, it is critical that members of this group, members of the CWG, and you know who you are, all need to make sure that their groups whom they represent, and this doesn't stop the participants doing it, there's the direct responsibility of the members to ensure that groups are fully informed and appraised of the work of the group, such that in particular the chartering organizations, but in general the community as a whole, is properly and fully informed of the work and the thought and the effort that's gone into some of this, because we won't be able to afford to loop back on topics where we've done significant work and keep going through them. At some point we'll have to move forward. So I'm going to, please do feel free to raise your hand, but I am mindful of the time and I'm going to nudge us through. So in a sense, item four, the communication materials from Explain are designed to assist with doing and undertaking the work of point 3B. So let me call if there are any questions or comments in and around the drive to produce a draft proposal, the need to communicate and work with member groups, and the supporting material prepared by Explain. And I'll admit here, I haven't gone through that in any detail. I've skimmed over the material from Explain. I think it could be useful if I was to have to present to a group. It would be useful as an aid memoir to pick key points from, and I think that is how it is intended. It's not an absolutely factual account of all of the detail, but it's a useful basis to have graphical talking points. Any thoughts, questions, or points in and around items 3A, 3B, and 4 on the agenda? Chuck, thank you for your point in the comment. I think that's a very good point. I think a summary schedule would be useful. So if we could capture that staff as an action to publish a summary schedule with key dates and points, especially in the run-up to the public comment, but also we could cover off highlights as they currently stand right up until Buenos Aires, I would think.
Jonathan, this is Grace.
Go ahead, Grace.
So I just wanted to note that we will be sending out calendar invites for all the upcoming calls very shortly. We just wanted to make sure that we had looked at a comprehensive schedule, and I'll circulate one to the list before we do that. Is it okay to just do a quick update on the Explain graphics at this time?
Please do, Grace. Go ahead.
Okay, so I just wanted to let everyone know that there are essentially three Explain documents that we're circulating. The first is on the screen right now. It's a handout, and you received this handout before the face-to-face meeting on Wednesday, and then there was a printout for those who were in the room on Thursday. And what we've done with this handout is, since the meeting, we've updated a few things and added a cover page. So this new version that you're seeing on the screen right now was circulated to me last night, and I'll make sure to get that to the list today. In addition to this document, there are two other documents, one that summarizes a day one, the design team discussion. It's a visualization of the discussions. It's not meant to be a summary per se, but it's just to give everyone an idea of what was discussed and how the discussions kind of took place. So that's day one is design teams, and then the day two document looks at the discussions around the models and how the group narrowed down from seven to three, or to two, three, then four, then two, then one, et cetera. And so there's also a sort of a visualization of the pros and cons discussion, and that, I think that's meant to help the group with sort of tracking how that conversation went. The handout for day two was based on the notes that were taken live in the Adobe Connect room during the meeting with the PowerPoint. So I've circulated day one and day two handouts to the list. I circulated those yesterday or early this morning if you're in European time. And I'd like to receive any comments that the group has, any reviews. You can do that on the list. I just would like to know so that the sooner we get the comments in, the sooner we can kind of circulate a more formalized package to the community. Right now, these are just on the wiki and they're on the mailing list, so they're not, you know, they're still in the public domain, but they haven't been finalized. So thank you. That's all. I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that we're looking for comments.
Okay.
Thanks, Grace. I will reiterate that. Anyone who is able to provide input on these documents, it would be helpful. I would think, my suggestion is that, and it's consistent with what Chuck has put in the chat, is that the first two documents are really for the use of, in quotes, experts. In other words, they're very familiar with the work of the group, and they provide, that, in that sense, expert material to be discussed and shared with very interested parties. The third document, which you've just put up now, is particularly useful and has a capacity to stand alone. So my suggestion to you is that we leave them on the wiki as is and circulate very broadly the final document, but not necessarily the initial two, because they are a form of sketch and incomplete, or they don't have a standalone capability. In my view, they need to be used in the hands of those who are specialists in the work of the group. So that would be my suggestion as to how to use these materials. Yes, and it seems that there are others in the group. It's not that they should be private to the group, but used in the hands of members of the group, and then the third one has more of a standalone capability. Great, and it seems that they were useful, at least in the ALAC update to that group. All right, let's move on then into any other business. I have a couple of items I'd like to mention, but I will pause to see if others do first. So let's open up AOB and try and wrap this up in the next 4 or 5 minutes. Okay, Lisa, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just had to get off mute. I have an issue about the principles, because I will send out the principles as Martin has almost finished on the list, and if we will conclude those on Friday the 10th, if there's no other objections to the text that's in the principles. So I think it's important that you have a look at these, and it seems that everyone has agreed on the issue. So don't reopen new issues, but we will send out the principles as we think they are almost completed for a final conclusion by the group. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. A couple of other points I wanted to make is Lisa and I met with one of the co-chairs of the CCWG and exchanged an update there this morning. On issues in and around timeline and closeness of working, and particularly effective coordination in and around legal advice, and to that extent it's it's good to hear that they will be leaning heavily on Sidley, notwithstanding the fact that they have two law firms working with them, so that's useful. But certainly they would like as much guidance as possible, and I think it's incumbent on us to come back to them with further guidance on, you know, the conditionality of our work on Workstream 1. In addition, there's one other point I wanted to make. There's something that's come up in the CCWG where they have been asked to input into an organization called the GAO, and there's been some discussion on the list about that. In fact, Lisa and I were asked to give input into the GAO. They apparently have been talking very widely to various members, and they interviewed us about our work in the group. I think it's an oversight that we neglected to mention that to the group before, to the CWG before. I apologize for that. We took it as relatively routine and gave them an update on the work of the group in response to a series of questions they had. But for the record, we did receive a similar request and gave an update. So I apologize for the untimely nature of that communication, but that did take place. I can give you the exact date if it's required. Lisa, your hand is up.
Yeah, I just saw in the chat that Christopher asked about the other design teams, and what I think we will do, Christopher, is that Jonathan and I will have a look at the priority two design teams and assess if they're necessary for the transition or not, and if other groups are working on those. So we will do an assessment and get back to the group regarding these. But at the moment, we find that there's a lot of work with the priority one design teams, and these need to be completed first. Thank you.
Okay, I think that's it. Just to remind you that we will meet with the client committee, we'll meet with Sidley and seek an update, and then the group will be updated accordingly and make sure we've got a clear understanding, or that they come back to us on their understanding of the group's instructions coming out of Istanbul, understand their timescales, and in particular, from my point of view, I think we should also be ensuring that they articulate and we understand their understanding of the links between our work and that of the CCWG on accountability. So I think that wraps things up, unless there are any other hands that come up within the next few seconds. I'll take it that we've covered the work that we needed for now. Obviously, there's lots of work going on in the design teams, and it probably remains to thank you for that and keep up the good work. All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll be in touch on the list and meeting on Tuesday next week. Thanks a lot.